by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Hooking and hunting is what we do on this program. We love chatting about the outdoors, and we bring in Wyoming Game and Fish Department every week. And Janet Millick is with us. And Janet, I know that you guys are all just jam full of happiness because the new website is up and running and people are loving it.
Not only that, but now I have a friend in the office that gets to work with me. So typically I am the only kind of public affairs person in the Casper region. And now I have a friend and his name is Tyler and he joins us from South Dakota. And his new job is going to be the Hunter Education Coordinator. So I'm really happy to have some assistance to do a better job of the customer service and helping folks in the Casper region. And actually, he is statewide. So lots of people across the state will get to deal with Tyler.
So Tyler being in this role, I mean, it's an important role because everyone has to have hunter education in Wyoming to be able to hunt. And of course, there are age limits and everything. And one of the things I want to talk about real quick, Tyler, is give us a little bit of your background. You know, where'd you go to school and some of your interests?
Yeah, sure. So I graduated from South Dakota State University. As Janet said, I grew up and was born and raised in Southeast South Dakota. I kind of had a unique opportunity where I was a little bit in the city and a little bit out of the city. So it was really awesome. And that's where my, you know, love and passion for wildlife and hunting and fishing was fostered and grew. And some of my passions other than that are just, you know, getting outside. My wife and I, we pretty much do anything and everything that has to do with nature and the outdoors. But obviously hunting and fishing are one of the core values and beliefs that we hold and passions that we have. So that's a big part of it. Kayaking and hiking are something that we love to do. We love to train dogs. There's a lot to do that we like.
Tyler worked for quite a period of time, and I'll let him talk a little bit about that, with the South Dakota Parks, and I don't even know what they're called anymore. What's their new name?
South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks.
Oh, yes. Game, Fish, and Parks. And so lots of fantastic experience that he brings from internships and positions that he held there. What was your favorite part of some of those jobs, Tyler?
Yeah, so Game, Fish, and Parks was an awesome opportunity, and it's a great department, really. But working for them, I got to do quite a few things. I worked in parks for a while, particularly at State Park, and then I worked at a facility called the Outdoor Campus, which is it's a regional office, but it's also a education facility at the same time. And there, I really taught a lot of classes and spearheaded a lot of that programming side of things. And then a really large part of my job for a couple years there was running their Hunt 101 program, or helping to run it, where we take kids out and we really teach them everything from the classroom side of it to ethical hunting, how to ethically and safely use a firearm, all the way through to, you know, going out and taking them on a hunt, hopefully until we were successful. A lot of people, it took a few tries, but, you know, then you get there, and if we were lucky enough to be successful, then they had the opportunity to come into our facility, and we taught them how to butcher and gave them some cooking techniques and sent them on their way. So it really was a, you know, whole and very encompassed program that I was a part of out there. And I think it was a great place to kind of kick off my career.
So obviously the education side of the outdoors is really what, you know, gets you excited, because, you know, passing that knowledge on to other kids and even adults, because everyone has to have a hunter education course. And Wyoming obviously has a great opportunity for learning more and more about education in the outdoors. And with your new position, you're going to kind of be the go-to if someone has questions about education, right?
Yeah, so between me and my counterpart, Katie, we will be, you know, leading this as a team. So it will be the two of us. But yeah, I mean, definitely going to be available for answering questions and just helping to make sure that operations run smooth as far as our classes go and instructors and getting new instructors onboarded and trained, and making sure that the curriculum is on standard with the rest of the country is all things that we do.
When someone goes to wgfd.wyo.gov, the new website is up and it's really easy to navigate to the education section. But when you go there, they're gonna find there are a couple of different options when it comes to the education classes. And can you break down a little bit of what the education options are in Wyoming?
Yeah, so I mean, we have three, but mainly two different options that you can choose. We have an online option called an Internet Completion Course, or an ICC, and that's relatively new to our department, but it's a great opportunity for people that may have a little bit less time to go and sit down in a classroom. That's where you go on and you do a lot of the online things that can just be taught to you virtually. You go through that Internet Completion Course, and then you sign up for a shorter in-person session that would be typically at the on a weekend or in an evening, and then maybe it's 2 days, and then that is something that people can go ahead and do once they've completed the online portion in order to successfully have us send them their Hunter Ed certification. Then obviously you have your more traditional class, the style that I'm sure all three of us went through, and that is going to be your textbook, going through, making sure that you hit all of the bullet points, and depending on a certain set of days, but it's between 12 and 14 hour course. And that's our more traditional style. And then by the end of that, you obviously take your hard copy test, and then you're on your way out the door, and we would send you your Hunt Ed certification after that. We also have a Bow Hunter Ed course. It is not required in the state of Wyoming, but it's a great resource for people that just want to get out there and learn a little bit more about the ethics and safety of bow hunting. So, yeah, those are our options.
Well, it definitely is. Well, it's mandatory to take these because you can't get a license without having an education course. What is it, 1964 or something like that previous to that? But anyone that is thinking about getting into hunting, and we're getting to the point now where the season setting meetings are going to be completed, and you still have time to go sign up for these courses and really get that education.
That's right, Drew. And it's 1966, just in case you need to get in there and take that class. But one of the questions that I've had recently, which I think is a very important clarification that we should address here and now, you do not have to have that hunter safety card in hand to apply for licenses. So we're coming up, you know, the application deadline is going to be here towards the end of May for a lot of the big game species here in Wyoming. And you do not have to have your class done for your kids or yourself to apply. You will have to have it by the time you go hunting in our field. But prior to that, you know, so that gives you all summer to take that class after you learn that you have been awarded that license.
Janet, and I know that you've been in Wyoming your whole life. You grew up here in Casper. And as Tyler said earlier, the three of us, we didn't have online options when we were there. But you have kids now that have gone through the education courses. And how do they receive it when it is partial internet, or did they go through the traditional course as well?
You know, it just kind of depends. And one of the things that I think that folks really need to be thinking about it is their kids, and every child is different and every adult is different. You know, I think across the board, we do recommend that, you know, a little bit more of the older kids and adults take the internet completion course side of things. You know, it's easier to kind of grasp the content of that online stuff, and then be able to take that test when you do come in for the internet field course side of things. So maybe a little bit older there, and then a little bit younger for the in-person stuff. There is a lot of neat interactions that go on in a Hunter Ed class in person that, you know, I think sometimes some kids can really benefit from. That being said, There are parents that are much more active and really want to be super involved with their kids throughout this entire process, and would encourage them, if that's the route they want to go, feel free to do the internet side of it. But there are states that do just internet, and they don't require an in-person side of it at all. But I think it's a great way for us as a state to have some interaction with those kids, see if there's anything that they, you know, questions that they might have. You know, it's just hopefully a great interaction with our volunteer instructors across the state.
You know, I always feel when I took the class that one of the greatest parts of it is learning about firearm safety, because if you're a young kid and you just want to get into hunting, and maybe you don't have a whole lot of firearms around your home and you don't know, this is a great way for people to become familiar with firearms and the ethics. We talk about ethics a lot, but there's a lot that goes into being an outdoors person.
There really is. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the class. I took the hunter education course in 1988 with Mrs. Jones at Dean Morgan Junior High School. So long ago, but it really did spark an interest that long ago in, you know, getting outdoors and doing some different things. Of course, I come from a family who is very avid in the outdoors, and so there was that side of it as well. But, you know, being in person with and interacting with some of this content, I think can really be a fun time for kids. It's great to learn some of the ethics. It's great to learn some of the technology behind things. And you're spot on with the, you know, the gun handling and being comfortable with things and learning how to cross a fence. And, you know, sometimes when you are afield, there are intimidating things that happen. And sometimes in these classes, we can help address some of that so that kids maybe know and are better equipped to deal with some of those situations.
You know, Tyler, you had mentioned a little bit ago that, you know, the volunteers are, or the instructors are volunteer all across the state, and you're always looking for folks to become instructors. And what kind of a process is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are very blessed with a very large force and a strong force at that of volunteers throughout the state of Wyoming. But as you said, we're always looking to add to our team and to grow that into something larger. The process of that is pretty interesting. It's very all-inclusive and hands-on anymore, and how we ensure that our instructors are properly equipped and prepared to join us in the education side of things. How we really get started is you fill out an online application and you send that in. And then if you're interested and everything goes smooth, background checks are approved and all of that, then we host a few times a year different hunter ed education like trainings. And those trainings are, we hold them in different spots every year. For next year, they are not set out yet for dates, but like I have one I'm leaving at the end of this week in Jackson to try and get a bunch of people trained up there in that area. And that one's full. It's great to see the turnout so full like that. And then we also have another one coming up in Casper. That's in August, and that one's not full yet. So if anyone's listening to this and decides that they want to go ahead and sign up, that'll be my plug to our program. But,
you know, and I just to follow up with Tyler on that, you know, I have had a lot of folks reach out that have had a little bit of interest in this. And, you know, whether you are one of those folks that maybe is complaining about the content of a class that you went through, or maybe it energized you and you want to participate more, this is the perfect opportunity to come, you know, be a part of this. And again, Tyler is going to be doing a training here in Casper in August. And you can just go through all of this. And then once you're a volunteer, I know a lot of people really were talking about, I want to focus on the fact that, you know, here's a great ethical way to hunt. And they didn't think that maybe that portion of the class was taught the way they wanted to teach it. And here's your opportunity to get in there and really teach the kids and focus on things that you've learned in the field, as well as the basic content. So highly encourage everyone to really, really do that.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the beautiful parts of our program as well is, you know, once you are through that training process you are a full-fledged instructor. We do require that you have one other person instruct with you, whether that be an assistant instructor. A lot of people have their wives or husbands help them out, or a neighbor. And the beauty of our program is you can kind of teach whenever you want to. There's a lot of flexibility, like Janet said, in being able to kind of mold the class to a little bit of what you want. Now, obviously, there's certain standards that need to be met, and there's content that has to be gone over and certain time that needs to be spent, you know, going over certain things like crossing that fence and ethics and the different parts of safely handling a firearm. But you can set your schedule if you want it to be longer, you know, days or shorter days, or if you're available on evenings. That's one of the perks of our program, is being able to kind of just go in and teach when you want to.
Well, what I really love about it is you mentioned a wife and a husband team, or, you know, maybe a mother and a daughter. You know, I think that in Wyoming, women are becoming more outdoor people, and they're really wanting to make an impact and get younger girls involved too. So encourage, you know, the ladies to try to sign up as an instructor as well, and really work for the future of Wyoming's outdoor, which you guys are always doing big stuff for. WGFD.wild.gov is where you go get signed up for either the courses or find out more about becoming an instructor. And Tyler, it's nice to meet you, and we appreciate you coming on. I'm sure we'll talk to you more.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you too, Drew. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Drew, along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, well, Brian, we've had another switch in the hitch in the giddy up there.
Yep, just when you think maybe spring might have actually hit, there comes the rain and the sleet and the mud.
We were at the Walleye Banquet last weekend,
right?
And boy, it was 75, 76 degrees and sunny all day, and then Sunday was just a great day, and then the bottom dropped out, and here we are, and who knows what it's going to be.
Springtime in Wyoming.
That's right. Hey, speaking of, we have got all kinds of opportunities for you to come in, and I know that last weekend they did end up having that adventure weekend up on the mountain, and we've had folks in and up there. There's still some snow, but it's starting to melt off, so hiking season will be here before you know it.
Yeah, we were pretty stocked up with all of our, you know, footwear, our socks. A lot of the new Danner boots have already hit the store. We've closed out a bunch of the old models, so there's some really good deals on some of that kind of stuff. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of people, especially on the weekends, that are taking advantage of this nice weather.
So when we talk about socks, you know, during the winter time when you're out on, you know, whether you're hiking in the winter or hunting and you wear your wool socks, what are you wearing during the warmer times when you're hiking? I mean, you don't want it to be a thick sock, do you?
Yeah, you know, we carry, you know, Smart Wool, Darn Tough. We carry some Danner. We carry some Wigwam. There's a lot of different brands out there. A lot of them are kind of that wool based, but there's just different levels of thickness. I mean, the hiking sock I wear to work pretty much every day. And if you're going to be hiking actively and you're moving around a lot, that's good for a lot of even winter conditions. It's when you're going to be wearing those big, heavy, you know, muck boots or those winter snow boots that you might want a thicker sock. But even then, I find that these thinner wool socks keep my feet really warm in pretty much all conditions.
And really, the wool just keeps the moisture away from your foot. Yeah, and that's what keeps it warm.
They stay breathing, and you don't get too hot. They don't, you know, you're not pulling off a wet, soggy sock at, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, nothing worse than having wet feet. I mean, that just bums me out every time. Hey, we also talk a lot about the grills that you guys have and the smokers, and you guys have a big selection right now.
Yeah, we have a huge selection of Traeger grills right now. Pretty much every single model that they carry, including the new flat top that came out last year, those have been super popular. Real compared to a Blackstone out there, but a few different features, some definitely upgrades in a lot of cases, and then of course all the accessories, the pellets, all that kind of stuff. And one thing to know is that we've got display models that we've put together on the floor for show But you can take a model that's already put together. We can deliver it for you if you need to, or we can just get it to you in a box and just some minor assembly when you get it home.
So for some people, that's a game changer. You know, they maybe don't have the tools or the time to do that. So having that option is good.
Yeah, we can definitely schedule free delivery within town, pretty much any day of the week.
And you still have the layaway program, you know, even though Christmas is behind us, but, mm-hmm. you know, still people are tight in the pockets and need that program.
Yeah, I mean, that layaway program is nice for a lot of reasons. I mean, every once in a while we get a small selection of certain firearms in, and it might be one that we haven't seen for 6 months. You've been looking for it, you see it in the store, you're not necessarily ready to commit to that, $1,000 purchase, but we don't want it to disappear either. We'll require just 20% down and give you 90 days to pay it off.
All right. Well, get in here and check it out. And, of course, if you have, a son or daughter that's going to have a birthday coming up soon, it's always a great time to come in. You can get gift cards or maybe put their gift on the layaway and have it by the time they get here. For the birthday.
Yeah, lots of options for kids, and especially, a lot of kids are kind of following their parents in footsteps and, being in the outdoors or bird watching or whatever it is. Cheap pair of binoculars. We've got Vortex binoculars that are around $70, which it seems maybe high for a young kid's gift, but they have lifetime warranty. So, you know your kid's going to drop it, break it, bust it up, and Vortex will cover that 100%.
Well, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because really, you can have years and years and years. It's one of those things that, you get a pair and you can keep them because they're such high quality.
Yeah, a pair of binoculars is really real like a pair of a headlamp or a flashlight. You just kind of have to have it in the truck or, at all times, because you just never know what you're going to come across.
We have talked where you were in the spring and you're probably going to think about that new bow and maybe tuning your bow up to get geared up for, the archery season, which will be here before you know it, too.
Well, the exciting part about what happened this week is we received our Matthews order this week. So all the new lift bows, the 29s and 31s, I believe, we received a big, big, big shipment of Matthews lift bows. And we have all the accessories. And if you haven't seen these bows, if you haven't shot those bows, now is the time to come in, because they are unbelievable this year.
It's crazy to me how when you get a bow, you're like, oh, this is the best it'll ever mm-hmm. be. And then the next year they maybe change the weight on it or change the design of it just a little bit, and it's enough to really be a game changer.
This year is definitely that thing. There's so many different features to these bows, whether it's the integrated options with the rest and the quivers and all that type of stuff, to the adjustments on the let off. I mean, you have to see them to believe them. They're awesome bows. Get it now. Give yourself the opportunity to get it sighted in over the summer. Get comfortable with it. But these things definitely are going to be a game changer.
Well, get out here and check it out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, of course, they're not going to let you leave without it being set up and working just perfectly for you. You've got the archery range in the back, so they can even try it out before they leave.
Sounds great.
Come on in and see us here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian Woodward back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, Brian, fishing is underway. I always feel that even though we can fish in February and March, but after the walleye banquet, that kind of kicks off the season. And I feel like we're into that now.
We are in that season. It used to be that the Tough Man tournament was scheduled a little earlier, and as soon as that hit, that was the kickoff. We're fighting the ice conditions and the snow, and not anymore. The Tough Man, this next weekend, the 27th, isn't going to be quite as tough. I think it's supposed to be 72 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Although the fishing is always a little bit tougher there than it is some other places. But, fishing season is here, and guys are having some good success out there.
I've heard more and more people talking about being at Alcova and just knocking them out of the park. It's so weird because I've never heard good things this early about Alcova.
Yeah, it's a challenging lake at times, but if you're going to try to target walleyes, the springtime is kind of the best time, because you're not fighting all these play boats and wakeboarders and jet skis, right. Water skiers. You're not having to fight all that boat traffic, and you can actually get out there and finesse these walleyes in the boat.
So we were talking a little bit about Glendo and how, you know, the new marina is taking over and they'll be ready the 1st of May, which is just a couple of weeks away. And have you heard any much on the fishing down there at this point?
You know, the fishing has kind of been up and down. You know, you talk to one group of guys and they, you know, had a pretty good day. Talk to another group of guys and, like, you know, I talked to one guy last week, said all he caught was a carp. they're marking lots of fish. And a lot of times, in my experience, this time of year is either pre-spawn or post-spawn. Those fish kind of, they get tight-lipped. So, you know, you just have to kind of keep hitting it and find out, you know, I think at different levels of the lake, different parts of the lake, the spawn happens at different times. So you just have to find the ones that are active and willing to bite.
So with the tournaments coming up, the Walleye Stampede, the 12th and 13th or 11th and 12th, I think, is when it starts. Yep. And then the first part of June is the Governor's Cup there at Glendo. So when things are getting on this, you still have a few open boats that can register and get involved with that too.
Yeah, we just hit the 100 boat mark for both tournaments, so that leaves us, you know, about 30 or 40 spots left to fill the field. So if you're wanting to get in, you know, don't hesitate, get that entry sent in. We are capping that second tournament at 140, so looks like it's probably a good chance that one's going to fill up in probably a week or two early.
And to fish the championship and for the fourth one of the year, you have to be in the first one and the second one, right?
Yeah, you have to fish all three events. So we'll have two tournaments at Glendo. Our third event will be up at Boisen Reservoir at the end of June. And then our championship is like August 11th and 12th up at Pathfinder.
So make sure you get in on that. You can go and check out the Wyoming Walleye Stampede on Facebook and get all the information there. And you have those applications here at the store too, I think.
Right? Yeah, we have applications for the Tough Man and the Stampede, both up at the front counter by our licenses.
I still have heard good things about the river, how it's being fished pretty darn good right now, and it's really pulling a lot of fish out of there.
Yeah, I think, you know, this last week with this weather we had, a little extra moisture, probably going to muddy up some portions of it. But before that happened, you know, I was seeing boats, you know, fishing, you know, kind of spread out all the way from, you know, Gray Reef all the way through town. So that's always a good sign. That just means we got good water conditions. And when those guys can spread out a little bit, it's a lot more comfortable and more enjoyable for a lot of them.
Well, it definitely is that time of year to, if you, you know, don't get out on a 60-degree day and it's 30 the next day, but you were just talking about, you know, organizing your boat a little bit, and so you're ready for that 72-degree Saturday.
Yeah, you know, so far I've had my 3 days off, and I've been on three different bodies of water, and I've had rough conditions every day. I mean, like, we're talking anywhere from 2 foot to 4 foot, you know, waves out there on each one of the lakes. So, and the fishing for me wasn't great. A couple of my buddies did pretty well on the back of my boat, but apparently I'm a better boat captain than I am fisherman at this point.
Yeah, but, just shaking the dust off,
But yeah, you know, this cold weather that kind of snapped through there is kind of got me itching to get the, you know, all the rods and reels out of the boat, and kind of, you know, by the time a season ends, you know, I've flip-flopped rods and reels onto different rods, and I've, you know, busted a couple tips, and, you know, now is the time to kind of reline all those and re-spool and kind of figure out which rods I want to use for what techniques, you know. And I like using braided line for my slip bobbers, which is kind of a easy one for me, but there's certain rods that I like throwing crankbaits with, and I like to have some Power Pro or Suffix, some braided line on there. And so getting those reels put back together and, you know, get the mono off of there, or, you know, sometimes in the fall I convert a lot of that over for jigging, vertical jigging presentations. So, I mean, it usually takes me a few hours to kind of get everything put back together and you know, which reels and what rods I like.
So, you know, I mean, that's quite the, you really think about, so you don't have to change out your stuff when you're on the fly. You can just grab a different rod. And you talked earlier about, you know, walking through the aisles here and getting a new rod. How often will you do that? Well, you'll change out a rod that maybe is a few years old or a couple of years old, and
I don't change them unless I need to. You know, I think I might have broke one tip off of one last year, and the year before I broke one up, and I just, you know, put a new tip on it. But you know, when you do that, you kind of tend to lose some sensitivity out of those poles. And I kept them because they were some of my favorite rods, and I didn't want to swap them out. But we had some really nice rods come in here at the store. The Fenwick, the Walleye Elite rods, and man, I kind of fell in love with the feel of them. I like the cork handles on them, and I thought now was a good time to upgrade some rods.
Yeah, so you think about that too, and come on in and see them and see what all they got new on the. On the aisles of fishing, aisles and aisles and aisles of fishing here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
And it just keeps coming in. I mean, we've got so much new stuff and so many new colors and patterns. And there's some pretty neat stuff out there. We started carrying Mega Bass, which, you know, we're apparently the only dealer in Wyoming to carry Mega Bass. So you don't have to order them online anymore, guys. Come on in. And but yeah, there's plenty of stuff to look at. You know, this time of year, we're selling an awful lot of minnow traps. You know, guys with their own seining permits are going out and they're seining the chubs and fatheads and you know, setting up their own tanks at their house. But for a guy that doesn't want to work that hard, you know, of course we carry minnows year round. There's been a pretty good batch of minnows lately, and we should be expecting leeches here in the next few weeks. So just waiting to get the authorization from our guys up in Minnesota.
Very good. Well, get in here and check them out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Make sure that you're ready when the fishing comes.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. We're back in action, and we do appreciate you tuning in. Remember, always, you can go over to the radio station's app, and you can listen to all of the great episodes we've had over the last 3 years. It's hard to believe that. And one of the guys we've talked to multiple times is Joshua Corsi from the Muley Fanatics. And man, Josh, you guys have been really busy in 2024.
Yeah, that's an understatement, Drew. We have. It's like the change of the calendar, and all of a sudden it was 100 miles an hour. And, you know, in the midst of not only a legislative session, but then also our, you know, most of our chapter spring events occur by design in that February, March, April period of the year. And then, yeah, Mule Deer Days. You know, we've not been able to take a backseat to that really since last year's event. And really the planning and the changes that we've implemented for this year's event, we're excited to roll that out. We moved the date from March to May. You know, the weather impacts last year certainly were noticeable. That was the weekend of our Mule Deer Days inaugural event that really the whole state was shut down due to road closures and the impacts of Mother Nature. But Mule Deer Days 2, May 2nd through the 4th, we're excited. It's going to be, I think, what, you know, we really hoped year one would be. But I think we, looking back in retrospect, I think year one provided us the opportunity to really get our feet under ourselves and really see what we could do with this. And I think we've implemented what we needed to roll out year two to be what by design, as Director Nesvik said, was the intent, the statewide conservation event for mule deer in the Cowboy State. So
have you found, I know it didn't go so great last year because of the weather, but what it did do, did you learn a little bit on just the planning phases of coming together with a big kind of an organizational event like that?
Absolutely. You know, it's unprecedented really to partner with a state agency to host an event like this. It was certainly did not come with an owner's manual or a playbook to how to connect the dots to get this, you know, right out of the gate. But I say that, but it's really because we're our own worst critic and always trying to elevate the bar to make room for improvement and to continue to strive to achieve, you know, the maximum success. But it, as hard as it was last year to literally have every way into Southwest Wyoming, whether you were coming on 287 or 191 or I-80, I mean, no matter where you were coming from in Wyoming last year, that weekend was impassable. Road closures across the board. Despite that, the event in year one was still an amazing event. It, by design, the net profit of that event was totaled and calculated, then allocated by an all-volunteer committee from folks all over the Cowboy State. And you know, we went into it with a pretty lofty goal of raising $500,000. We come up a little short. We were just a little over $472,000. But all those dollars were allocated to very worthwhile projects for mule deer conservation in Wyoming. And so as much as it pains me to know that we had many folks that were calling saying, hey, I can't get there, roads are closed, I think it was still very beneficial for us to look at an earlier spring date instead of a late winter date, despite, you know, shed season in Wyoming opening up on May 1st. We were at the mercy of what the venue could offer us and availability of their calendar. So May 2nd through the 4th this year, I think it's going to be outstanding. We've built in some additional components that we didn't have at last year's event. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is it's free to the public. You know, last year, if you paid the admission, then you got tickets to be able to enter into a bunch of different prize offerings. This year we said, you know, let's just make it free. And if folks want to participate in some of the raffles, then leave that to them. And certainly we've met that opportunity, I think, where folks will see some enticing offers there. We got the 200 gun raffle. We got a Ford Bronco SVT Raptor that we'll give away at 4 o'clock on Saturday. I mean, and this thing is bad donkey. It's a, you know, I'd never buy a $105,000 buggy like this just because, one, I couldn't afford it, but two, it's like, how do you justify having a toy that costs more than your house? But we're excited to give this thing away, and somebody's going to be pretty darn happy with it.
It's awesome to see that when people are going to the banquets, you know, they know I'm going to help the Muley Fanatics. I mean, we're out there to raise money, and it's one evening, so they know what they're going for. But when they have the option for a full weekend like this, they know that they're going to have multiple opportunities. There's lots of events. There's lots of learning opportunities, too, because that's something that you guys really try to give back to the community enough to not only help with the habitat and conservation, but education of mule deer in conservation in the state of Wyoming.
Yeah, you hit it right in the head, Drew. The event by design, you know, we see all of these other big expo type events that are taking place in our sister states. Colorado has a big one, Utah, of course, with the Western Hunt Expo. And that was really kind of the impetus of why we wanted to get this going. You know, Wyoming is a state that is rich in its sportsman and sportswoman heritage. And, you know, we have certainly smaller communities than what some of these other urban areas in our sister states offer. But, you know, by design, it was, let's put on an event to bring some of the leaders within the industries that support not only hunting and fishing and conservation, but really the whole, I guess, impetus to this was, let's make these offerings available to the folks that live here in Wyoming that oftentimes are supporting these outfits and industry folks through online purchases, or, you know, maybe they're traveling to some of these other events. But, you know, the three-day event, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 9 to 6. It's free. All of our vendor spaces have been secured, and we've got a great representation of the industry from Gunworks to Kuyu to Azire to, you know, Silencer Central to, I mean, if you can think of someone in the sporting world of, you know, hunting and the pursuit of big game and bivouacking in the field for extended periods of times with good gear, you know, we filled the house with great vendors, and we're excited to be able to have the vendor support that we have. You always wonder when you have a show that's kind of at the end of their trade season, you know, what kind of interest and motivation do they have to come to Wyoming? But we filled them up, and it'll be a great offering. In addition to that, though, the education component, which is absolutely key in our mind, is that all 3 days are littered with seminars and films that'll be taking place at the complex in a separate room. But these educational seminars are some of the top-notch seminars that we could really, with a think tank combined between our efforts and representation from Game and Fish, was really how do we put together a seminar or educational lineup that, again, is free to the public that could just really be of great interest. And I think we've done that. I mean, all of this information, the schedule of the seminars, all the vendors, it's all available at muledeerdays.org or at muleyfanatic.org. And folks can go on there and see what they have in store. But it's going to be a great 3 days, I can tell you that.
Well, you mentioned last year it was a smaller crowd than you'd hoped for, but still you almost hit that $500,000 mark, which means that a lot of habitat and conservation was helped because of last year's event. And this year, the weather looks like it's going to be pretty good. So maybe even over that $500,000. And how will some of that money be allotted for conservation and habitat throughout Wyoming?
Yeah, so what we've done there, Drew, is we selected a 7-member all-volunteer project allocation committee from folks from all over Wyoming, multiple counties throughout the state. Obviously, you know, if you're limiting it to 7, then you're not going to have full representation of all 23 counties. But we really put the charge to the folks that have stepped up to say that they would serve in this capacity to to really do what's best for mule deer and weigh these project proposals that have been submitted for them to give consideration to really kind of chart or have some sort of ranking system to allocate these dollars to have the most impact or the most needed impact. You know, mule deer are struggling. I mean, that's the bottom line. Winter of 22-23 certainly had its impact that's been well documented in western Wyoming. But if you look beyond, which, you know, sometimes I think folks that aren't near and dear to the Wyoming range maybe get tired of hearing about how Wyoming range gets so much talk and discussion. I mean, it is such an iconic herd and we recognize that, but there are other herds in this state that are struggling just as well. Chronic wasting disease has wreaked havoc on many of the herds in other parts of this state. I mean, you see the fragmentation of habitat, the lack of a healthy habitat supporting thriving and sustainable mule deer populations. I think the charge that these folks have to be able to allocate the net dollars that come from this event, you know, I think they certainly will be difference making, but I think it's also the educational component where folks can have an opportunity to weigh in, be able to submit project proposals of their own, and really have this all volunteer committee look at these projects and do what's best to help mule deer.
And you can, of course, do your part by stopping in and checking them out at Mule Deer Days, May 2nd through the 4th. It'll be in Rock Springs, and it'll be a great opportunity to learn, laugh, and really have a full weekend with other fanatics of mule deer. And you can go check out their website, muledeerdays.org. And, of course, as always, you want to find out more about Muley Fanatics, you can go to muleyfanatic.org as well. You know what, Joshua, we're going to have you back on next week to talk more about Mule Deer Days, and you were part of the commission meetings for Wyoming Game and Fish. So Josh will be back with us next week on the program.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.